Hi, I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. On today's show, your kids are grown and have gone out on their own, and you're left with an empty nest. How traumatic is this transition, and how can you get past the hole that's opened up in your life? A therapist and life transition expert shares her own story and offers advice on what to do to survive empty nest syndrome.
But first, with the fall comes the start of flu season, and talk of whether or not a flu shot is necessary. A flu vaccination is as close as your family doctor or internist, and there's always the corner drugstore's flu shot clinic to fall back on. So how bad is this year's flu season expected to be, and will there be enough flu vaccine to go around?
Joining us is one of the country's top experts with the latest on the upcoming flu season and the flu vaccine. Dr. Joseph Brzee is with the Centers for Disease Control. He's chief of the Epidemiology and Prevention Branch, which tracks flu outbreaks nationwide and determines vaccine use policies to prevent seasonal flu. Welcome to Take Care, Dr. Brzee. Thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
The weather is certainly changing for many of us, and we know what may be around the corner. What sort of flu season is expected this year?
Well, you never actually know. One thing we know about flu is that it's unpredictable each year. And so some years will have mild years, some years severe years, and you can't really predict. That's why we have everybody get vaccine before flu season starts, because once it starts, it'll be severe or mild, but you really don't know ahead of time.
What are the factors that will influence whether a flu season is severe or mild?
That's a good question, too. And if I knew the real answer to that, I'd be a very smart person indeed. I think some of the things that clearly affect how severe a season is going to be are the types of viruses that circulate. Some flu viruses tend to cause more disease, more deaths than other flu viruses. The attack rate by age, viruses that attack older people tend to result in more hospitalizations and deaths than viruses that tend to affect younger people, for instance. But a lot of the things that affect how severe or mild a flu season is going to be are really hard to predict.
So do you look at past years, and is that how you come up with future, you know, predictions for the future? Do you look at the last 5 years, what you thought was going to happen, what actually happened, and analyze kind of the factors, whether actually the climate affects it? How do you analyze the data from the past?
Well, the most important thing we get from the past data and the current data that we're seeing right now is which viruses are likely to circulate this year. And that's really important because we have to choose the vaccine. We have to create a new vaccine each year. And the choice of which strains go in that vaccine has to be made back in February. And so we have about 7, 8, 9 months, sometimes 10 months between the time we make the vaccine and the time it's used. And so what we use the past data for and the ongoing surveillance that we do really all around the world is to try to predict which strains of this virus are going to circulate in the United States so that we can make a vaccine to protect against it.
Would you explain how exactly the flu shot, and I'm sure this applies to other vaccines as well, but how does the flu shot work to prevent a person or help them prevent getting the flu?
It's a good question. And to start with, remember, there's two types of flu vaccines. One is an injectable vaccine. This is sort of the classic vaccine that you inject in somebody's arm. And the other is a live vaccine, which you spray up somebody's nose. The injectable vaccine, the way it works is you inject pieces of a flu virus, usually the outer coating of the flu virus. And what that does, it allows the body's immune system to detect the virus or detect the proteins of the virus and develop antibodies against them. And so once you have those antibodies, when you're infected later in the season with a real flu virus, you already have antibodies against that very flu virus that can act quickly to rid yourself of the disease or give you a milder illness than you otherwise would have. The live vaccine works a little differently. It's live, so it actually grows like a real flu virus, but it's weakened flu virus, and so it doesn't cause disease. But because it grows in your nose and your throat, it allows your body to develop a very robust immune response to it, just like it would to a natural infection with flu.
In terms of developing that robust immune response, how long between injection or how long between the nasal spray and someone's ability to fight off the flu should they be exposed?
But it's a great question because it really does take about 2 weeks between the time you get a vaccine to the time you're fully protected for most people. And this is important because as we think about when to vaccinate people, we want to make sure that people get vaccinated early enough in the fall before flu hits their community so they develop good protection before they experience flu in the wild.
And then how long does that immunity last? So if you got vaccinated in September, how long would you be immune to that strain of flu?
Well, most people will have protection throughout the flu season, and we usually think of flu season starting in the fall and ending in the late spring. So for the most part, if you get vaccinated when flu shots become available in the late summer and early fall, you'll have protection throughout the time you're likely to see a flu virus in North America. There is some data to indicate that if you're elderly and you develop a sort of a more tepid immune response than a younger person, that you may have less, a smaller duration of antibody protection, and it may wane faster. But I think that those data are hard to understand. And I think for the most part, if you get vaccinated, whenever flu vaccine becomes available in your community, you should have protection for the full year.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Linda Lowen.
And I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And we are talking with Dr. Joseph Brzee with the Centers for Disease Control. He's chief of the Epidemiology and Prevention Branch, and we're discussing this year's flu season and the flu vaccine. So, Dr. Brzee, when you were talking about this and 2 weeks from that injection or the nasal spray to full immunity, it would seem then that one of the most important front lines of defense, I guess you could say, would be that we would hope that all of our healthcare providers, any healthcare professional, would have been would have the flu vaccine very early on in the season.
Yeah, we hope so too. And in fact, the good news is that healthcare professionals are doing a good job of getting vaccinated. In fact, the rates or the likelihood that a healthcare professional has been vaccinated has increased pretty dramatically over the last several years. This year, more than 70% of healthcare workers had received the vaccine, which is an all-time high. That's gratifying. What we're a little concerned about is that while doctors and nurses and frontline healthcare providers are really good about getting the vaccine, the office staff, the people who don't provide direct medical care but do encounter patients in their clinic during flu season, are less good about getting the vaccine. So we really need to push harder on the whole medical community to get vaccinated each year.
How does this compare to the general population? What percent of the population chooses to get a flu shot every year?
Well, the most recent data we have are from last year, and last year 45% of the U.S. population got a flu vaccine, and that's also an all-time high, I must say, and gratifying because it's slightly higher than the year before, and we're trending the right way. But the other side of looking at it is that more than half the people in the United States didn't get a flu vaccine last year. And that's a shame, and we need to do a better job in getting people to get the vaccine.
Are there people who, for medical reasons, should not get a flu shot?
There are some, but there's not many, to be honest. There's very little excuse not to get a flu vaccine, to be honest. Clearly, kids under 6 months of age can't get a flu vaccine because flu vaccines aren't licensed for that age group. To protect the youngest kids, these young infants between 0 and 5 months of age, what we need to do is make sure their mom gets vaccinated and their mom can then transfer the antibodies to them through the placenta before they're born, and that will protect the young child until about 6 months. Also, we need to make sure that people in the household of those children get vaccinated to keep them from giving the virus during the wintertime to a young, vulnerable infant.
I'm curious about this term trivalent and quadrivalent, which I hadn't heard before. I think it might be a medical term to describe how many strains of the flu shot of the virus are in the shot. And I understand this year there was something new, a quadrivalent flu vaccine. Can you explain that?
That's right. So when flu vaccines first were licensed and recommended in the U.S. decades ago, and ever since then, up until this year, we've used trivalent vaccines for the most part. So trivalent vaccines are vaccines that have three strains of flu represented in them. And that's important because in the world right now, there are really three types of flu that circulate and cause disease, two types of A and one type of B. And what happened in the 80s was that the B virus has actually split off into two groups. And so now we're stuck with these two groups of B viruses, which are different, and different with respect to sort of the proteins on their surface. And so the idea is that a quadrivalent vaccine, a vaccine with four flu viruses that includes two B viruses instead of one, and a B virus that represents each of these two groups of viruses that now circulate, may provide more broad protection or more certain protection against flu viruses than a trivalent vaccine. In fact, in practice, what we know is that trivalent vaccines or quadrivalent vaccines, any flu vaccine, is a good way to protect yourself against flu. And because of that, at CDC, we don't recommend any preference for a quadrivalent or a trivalent or any particular brand of vaccine over another. Just get a vaccine.
All right. In terms of getting that vaccine, I'm sure that people are more motivated to get the vaccine before they see flu circulating in the general population. So when does flu activity usually begin, and when can we expect to see a peak?
And it's unpredictable, is it, like everything else with flu. But generally speaking, we start to see activity around now in the fall time, October, November. The peaks usually occur somewhere between January and March in the United States, and then you get a tail off into April and May. And so it's really important, because you don't know in your community when flu is going to arrive, because it really is variable between parts of the country each year. So you want to make sure you get a vaccine whenever it becomes available in your community.
Dr. Brzee, I was interested to read when I was researching about the flu vaccine that recent studies are showing some promise that people who get a flu shot may have a lower incidence of having a heart attack. Can you talk to us about that?
That's right. It's long been known, I think, that if you get a natural infection with flu, you're at higher risk of complications of heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, a variety of underlying health problems that, in fact, infection with flu makes worse. And so it stands to reason that if you prevent that case of flu in a person with heart disease or lung disease or diabetes or other diseases, that you'll reduce their risk of having complications of those underlying diseases as well. And now, for the first time, really, in the last 4 or 5 years, we're starting to accumulate the data that actually proves that flu vaccine receipt can reduce your chance of some of these complicated diseases.
Dr. Joseph Brzee is the chief of the Epidemiology and Prevention Branch with the Centers for Disease Control. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
For more information on seasonal influenza, the flu vaccine, and Dr. Brzee, visit the Take Care webpage at wrvo.org/take care. Podcasts of our show are available on iTunes and the WRVO website.
Coming up, your children are gone and you're facing an empty nest. Are you equipped to deal with this next phase of life? You're listening to Take Care on WRVO Public Media.